Blog Talk Radio. I'm great. It is Lunch with Ginger and Corey, the Divas of Daytime Podcasting.
Hell yeah. Good morning, folks.
Thank you all, by the way, last night for your prayers and whatnot. All situations are resolved and, well, yes, Ginger?
Yes. All situations are resolved. As a FYI to people, pellets will go through your foot. So,
I didn't give many details, but
I'm just going to say, if you got a pellet gun, don't point it at your foot, because if I have to go wait with you in the emergency room and somebody coughs on me and makes me sick, I'm going to be mad.
And that she was. So, you didn't know you had a lot of wishers and fans saying, where are you? Where are you guys? We're like, we got two that's got emergencies. That was Jen and Blaster. And what I were, being vigilant, keeping watch, making sure they were okay. Holding down the text and tweets to make sure that they needed some support. So it came out well.
Yes.
And then we had a very productive 3-hour meeting afterwards. You didn't realize that we were talking that long, did you?
No, I knew it was a very, very long time. I knew it was crazy because...
I tell you, y'all people's got some incredible...
It was like near 1 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, they got incredible stamina. So we were up pretty late talking, getting ready for the big thing we won't tell you guys about yet.
Yes. You cannot know yet. Not yet. But soon.
Soon. Okay, somebody explain to me why Cookie Monster is on, is making his way around the internet.
I don't know. And what is this that just followed me?
Oh, huh. We had a lot of porn stars that follow us. So hello to you, ladies.
Yes, but thank you. Thank you for the prayers. Oh, I see that. Oh, y'all are all so sweet.
Yes.
I love y'all.
They were living on you some change. Or living on them. Well, they're living on all of us in general. I didn't name anybody. But those are the two who caused it. That's the two who caused the problem. No.
See, we're so loved. We're so loved.
Ah, we love to be loved. Okay.
Yes. So how? I'm out of it this morning. Don't listen to me. Never mind.
Well, then let me go ahead and.
Yeah. You start. You lead out. I'll follow.
I will jump in.
I got your back.
All right. Man, I can smell the coffee and I didn't get any. Dang it.
I got fresh tea. It's still warm.
I got nothing but water. This is not cute. All right. So if you were following us on Twitter, you saw my little teaser. It said Sony says to PlayStation 3, dance. Beep. Well. According to GI.biz this morning, the PlayStation business is under new pressure to form Corsten Corp. In a year when the company is expecting to make a loss or to report a loss, 220 billion yen, that's about 2.9 billion here, PlayStation's Worldwide Studios boss, Shuhei Yoshida, and I may be saying your name wrong, I'm so sorry, I'm sure you couldn't say my name either, my real name, don't you say it, Ginger. he admitted there's a renewed emphasis on the division to perform, but the group is also motivated by the leadership of new Sony CEO Kaz Hirai and his years of experience in the games market. He's reported as saying, I'd be remiss if I say they won't. Be because we're part of a big Sony corporation, but when you listen carefully to the announcements by Kaz, he clearly states or said that Sony going forward has two pillar businesses. We have a really strong vertical integration. One is digital imaging and digital and video cameras, and the other is games. Yoshida said he's expecting a continued investment in the PlayStation business. One of Sony's I'm gonna cut you, Ginger.
Sorry. I know. Sorry.
And she just said he's expecting continued investment in the PlayStation business, one of Sony's most successful brands, and due in the spotlight this month with the imminent launch of the PS Vita handheld. A pricey handheld coming from Kaz, said these two businessmen are the pillars of the community. It's a huge expectation for us to kind of lead the business, and so I would expect Sony would allow us to invest for the future. It's clear messaging. The appointment of Kaz himself is the clear message. The way he's developed software, hardware, and services together, he says, I'm sure that's how he's going to develop the business. Let me cut all this short because it gets longer. They go into a whole lot of other things we don't really care about. We just want to know if there's going to be a showdown, a civil war, a Sony civil war, so to speak. The PlayStation Vita is going to launch in Europe and the U.S. just next week. And GI.Business is going to be talking to the little so you can pop. Well, you can keep it here. We'll tell you what they say. I forget you guys can't access that. Ginger, and throw me all off.
Yeah, I know.
Is that a porn star following you?
No, it's
a
religious thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got a couple of those, which means they're either going to love us or hate us.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I don't know about this.
Oh, well, they'll live.
Yes. All right, well, I'm going to start out with something good this time. SOE accepting applications for 2012 Girl Game Design Competition, GIRL. All right, so Sony Online Entertainment is accepting applications and submissions today for its application for its 2012 Gamers in Real Life Game Design Competition. In its fifth year, the GIRL program grants scholarships to four winners through the Game Design Competition. SOE will award one winner of the 2012 Girl Game Design Competition with a scholarship in the amount of $10,000 to be applied for tuition and other educational expenses at the winner's school of enrollment. Winners are also given the opportunity to participate in a paid internship of up to 10 weeks at SOE's headquarters in San Diego, providing hands-on experience working on one or more of the company's games. Laura Naviak, Senior Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing at Sony Online Entertainment, says, The goal of GIRL has always been of opportunity, education, and recruitment to get more women in the gaming industry. That's awesome, by the way.
Yes.
Over the last few years, we have been nothing short of impressed with the hundreds of amazing submissions from talented students nationwide. Now, in our fifth year, we can't wait to see the creativity that comes out of the GIRL program. Submissions for the 2012 Girl Game Design Competition will close on March 29th, 2012. To apply, applicants need to register Scholarship America, SOE Scholarship Administrator, and submit their application for evaluation. There's a link. It's at scholarshipamerica.org/gamersinreallife. And if you need to see this again, I've actually got an article up on GameMatrix.com with all the information. So head over there and check that out.
Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
I forgot what I was going to tweet. Anyway, that happens quite often.
Yeah.
As you heard me mention earlier, Cookie Monster, for some reason, is making his way around the internet.
That's so odd.
Yeah. According to VentureBeat this morning, Cookie Monster has returned. Google caught tracking the Safari users on Apple's iOS. Wow. Okay. Apparently, Google has changed its approach and deleted some of the text that it was up on its website, making it very guilty. This is not actually about Cookie Monster, in case you hadn't figured it out. Remember, Google was tracking us. We were all complaining.
Yes. Google, stop tracking us. Stop looking at my midget porn.
We're calling them Cookie Monster, in case you didn't figure it out, as is VentureBeat. So the WSJ found that Google managed to get temporary tracking cookies assigned to people using Safari on the iPhone and iPad, even though both Apple and Google told consumers that Safari, by default, blocked this kind of activity. When it was informed of this story, Google changed its approach and deleted text from its website, which makes it look kind of guilty. At the risk of being seen as an apologist for the culture of tracking the dark side of the web supported by advertising, that's how Google pays their bills, this particular story is going to gloss over a lot of important details in a rushed judgment. This is our people over at VentureBeat. Okay, so John Battelle is saying that Google and many others have figured out ways to get around Apple's default setting on the Safari.
Mm-hmm.
The only browser that comes to the iOS is the Safari, and it never really asks you what kind of privacy settings you want, and I didn't even think about it either, that I probably should check it. Nor does it ask if you wanted to share your data with anyone else. Apple assumes that you agree with their point of view on privacy as soon as you use Safari, although you can download Firefox for your iPad, and I'll be doing so for the iPad shortly after the show. All right, there appears to be two different versions of what's going on. Another is, well, it's by two different people, Julia Angwin and Jennifer Valentino DeVries. part of the last of the this is going to be difficult to follow, y'all, because we're kind of sleepy. A piece by Valentino DeVries is covering some of the same material about the cookie tracking, but she says something about an update to the software that underlies Safari has closed the loophole that allows cookies to be sent after the automatic submission of invisible forms. So future public versions of Safari incorporate people who had the proposed change, according to the software documents, are two engineers at Google. Now, that update took place 7 months ago, and Google apparently is not knowing their own policies. So the advertising team, completely different division of Google, is exploiting a loophole to get tracking cookies in Safari.
So they're exploiting their own stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
The other team, supposedly the engineers, are supposed to be closing the loophole. So basically what this boils down to, guys, is be safe. Steer clear of your Safari on your iPad for now until Google can get on the same page in their company. You know, one company, one part is doing this and the other hand's doing this. So, no. It's a scary world out there.
Very, very. You people out there, you make my head hurt.
I may contact them, but, you know, I'm going to contact them, but Google's, again, another Fort Knox company. It's hard to get them to say anything to you. I wonder if I switch to Firefox.
Tell them I will wear a shirt and put in boob prints and send it to them for information.
Oh, wait. I'm Sergeant. I got to do a second one for you that's less included. Well, all this hoopla about the Foxconn with Apple, again.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, because Apple's been under such intense scrutiny, in a statement last Friday, the Taiwan-based manufacturing giant Foxconn said that the base pay for junior workers was being raised to 1,800 yuan per month and could go up to 2,500 for those who pass a technical examination. Yeah, maintaining that they were not crazy. This is increasing their wages by 16% to 25%. So yuan still is not that much money compared to us. It works out to around $280 a month. So they were getting less than that. This is the third raise the workers have received since the beginning of 2010. Of course, you know, the working conditions at Foxconn came under attack recently via a lot of people on the web, but most notably the New York Times. Apple CEO Cook at first responded by calling the reports offensive.
Offensive.
He uses a letter they gave to employees, but earlier this week, Apple changed its tune, calling for a new series of independent investigations into Foxconn by a Washington, D.C.-based Fair Labor Association, which is a group partially funded by Apple, and those new inspections are already being called into question. However, after the president of FLA, Orit van Heerden, you people over in with the Swedish names. Can't say I'm sorry. They praised the conditions at Foxconn, saying after only a few days that the facilities are first class, and Foxconn is really not a sweatshop. Mm-hmm. Generally, in labor rights investigations, the findings come after the evidence is gathered, not the other way around. This is from Scott Nova, who's executive director of Workers' Rights Consortium, told the New York Times. He says, I'm amazed that the FLA would give one of its most notoriously abusive factories in the world a clean bill of health. Appears to be nothing more than a guided tour provided by the owner. Yeah. Poor Steve. Steve, wherever you are, I know you got to be
rolling
in the grave, cussing, swearing, going, I did all this, and look at...
I mean, come on, people. He's not been gone a couple of months, and you are already ruining his vision, his company, his baby.
And I know some people are saying, well, he had to have known what was going on. But honestly, let's say he did. But once it came out to the press, I think he would have handled it a lot better other than to deny it. He probably would have been okay.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and get them a raise.
He was very humanitarian, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. So, yeah.
Boo on you, Apple.
Boo on you, Apple. Karma is a
They ever invent cloning? I believe somebody's going to clone him. And the first thing he's going to say is like, what?
I can totally see that. Hey, we walk into the building. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
You can't fire me. You're a clone. There's no laws against that. You're fired. You're fired.
Get out. Can you prove I'm not him? Get out.
I love it. I love it. All right.
What have I got? I have got some nuke. All right. Hold on. I said that wrong. Nuke fun, because you know I love calling it a nuke when it's enough. G5 extends its offerings to the NUC platform, releases three in the coming weeks. Oh, yes.
It's Hide NUC, woman. NUC.
NUC. It's a NUC. 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 Whatever.
That N-O-K thing.
Hide in the NUC. Hide in the NUC with your NUC and hit G5 games. By popular demand, leading casual games publisher G5 Entertainment today announced that it will extend its game offerings to the NUC Color and NUC Tablet. Coming weeks, G5 will release Stand O Food, Supermarket Mania, and Mahjong Artifacts, with many more games to be released in future months. Yeah. These award-winning games have already won the hearts of tens of millions of players worldwide and are perfectly suited for the NUC.
I don't know about all that.
Whatever. The first game scheduled for the NUC platforms include Stand O Food, which I already told you about, Supermarket Mania, Mahjong Artifacts. All right. GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over and check that out.
Totally.
And if you don't have one of these little guys, which I am sitting here petting right now, I know y'all can't actually see this. Yeah, that noise, that's my nails on it. That's so awesome. I love it.
Well, interesting things going on in the world of Second Life.
Oh?
What's yes. I must clear my throat. Linden Lab is acquiring something called Little Text People.
What is that?
I shall tell you. Linden Lab, the company behind Second Life, a game you hear us mention quite often here, has acquired a game development studio called Little Text People. The acquisition will provide Linden Lab with the talent and technology to support the launch of several new standalone products in 2012. Little Text People brings a depth and breadth of AI and interactive story development expertise that is a great fit for Linden Lab. As we launch multiple new products, that's from Linden Lab CEO Rod Humble. The result of this investment will be a new type of digital entertainment that modernizes the novel as a shared storytelling experience. Interesting. Little Text People was founded by a lovely woman named Emily Short and a man, Richard Evans, and developed simulation technology that models individuals and social interactions. Short described this as an exciting time in Linden Lab's development as a company. After a period of great popularity and intense media scrutiny, Linden Lab's Second Life entered a period of decline. In June of 2010, the company was forced to sell or to cut 30% of its workforce. And later that month, Mark Kingdon stepped down from his position as CEO, with the company's founder, Philip Rosedale, returning to the role for the first time since 2008. However, in October of that year, Rosedale also stepped down to concentrate on his new company, Love Machine. Linden Lab's current CEO is Rod Humble, who is a veteran game designer who worked on EverQuest and The Sims, which is why they had we were trying to figure out when did they get
that
role.
Now this makes sense. This is making much more sense.
Yeah, a lot of the changes that have been going on and how
the whole Linden Realms and that makes much more sense. All right. By the way, Linden Labs, I don't know what you're doing with your land right now, the mainland, but stop it! You're screwing up my scripts.
I thought it was just my little store that, remember I told you I logged out in my...
I own property in Second Life. I rent it out to people, and some of the scripts in my rental box are a little wonky now. Stop it.
I thought it was me, because I put out my hats my Valentine's hats to give away, and they were right where I left them when I came back. When I say where I left them, I mean I put them out on display, and when I came back, they were on the floor again, like when I was working on them.
Oh, that's odd. That sounds like there was a restart yesterday, so that could be it.
Well, not yesterday, the day after Valentine's. Was it day after? Yeah, the day after Valentine's Day, 15th is when it happened.
I don't remember. I know there was a restart recently, and it annoyed me, because I was all like, stop. But you're on private, so
me?
Yeah, you're on a private island. You're not on the mainland.
Still, there's some issues somewhere.
Yeah. It's all still Linden Labs, but they actually restarted their mainland continent yesterday, and it seems like I'm having issues now. Some of my renters, the new ones that don't know that, you know, I'm kind of laid back, they're like, oh my god, I don't really have 1,000 friends. I don't. down. It's okay. I see everything fine on my end.
Breathing. Quit tripping.
Yeah. I was like, I know you don't have 1,000 out. It's all right.
By the way, Jay said he's very happy to hear that we're all okay. He was worried. And we'd like to say back to you, Jay, boobs.
Yes, yes. I will bounce my boobs for you, Jay. Mm-hmm. I know you can't actually see that, but if you can hear my voice, yeah. I was like,
you know what? This is real X-rated real quick this morning.
All right. Well, we've got bad news. Bad news. Starbreeze lays off 25 employees.
Oh,
that's not a lot, but still, for that company, that could be a lot. Right, so according to GameIndustry.biz, Syndicate developer Starbreeze Studios has eliminated 25 jobs. Yeah, they said while their first guess would be that these jobs were temporary or work-for-hire jobs that were to be eliminated when the company finished developing the tactical action game sequel for Electronic Arts in days. Comments from Starbreeze's Michael Nemark to Games Industry doesn't make a distinction. Nemark says, it is sad that we are forced to make staff cutbacks affecting employees, but we have to reduce staff after the final delivery of the Syndicate. GameIndustry.biz is also reporting that Peter Tornquist will resign from Starbreeze's board and he will not be replaced. EA will release the new Syndicate game next week.
Wow. Yeah.
That kind of makes me... So, you know, that's not so totally unusual.
I do want to mention, because we got a lot of there's a lot of other gaming news and stuff we're going to try to cover in here, but I do want to mention yesterday we got a request from a company making a game called Code Hero, and if you're watching our Twitter, we went ahead and retweeted that for them. Go over to Kickstarter.com and look for Code Hero. Please give them some money. Let me tell you a little bit about the project that they're putting together. It's a game that is supposed to teach you how to make a game so you can learn to code while you play.
What is this again?
Code Hero.
Oh, I'm so downloading that.
They do have a beta available. I think you have to be a pledger, though. You have to pledge some money to be able to get into the beta. But I'm sure we could probably talk them into it. I think I did ask them for it, so we'll see if they're willing to give us a copy. But we were trying to help them out. Definitely an interesting concept. Something I had thought of doing, but was way beyond my knowledge of doing at the time. But so they're able to do it. Again, you learn to code while you play with a code gun, and it shoots JavaScript in Unity 3D. So by the time you're done playing, you will at least have some basic knowledge of code. I like this idea. They're trying to raise $100,000. They have 7 days to do so. Right now, they're only sitting at $24,000. So, guys, pop over. Tell your friends. Help them out. This is a good project, I think, especially for the little kids. You can't. Not like it's hard for them to know how to code, but we're moving into a world.
Today's age, yes, you want your children to know how to do this.
When they start asking if you're bilingual, say in the year 2035, bilingual is probably going to include if you know Java or, you know, they're going to be other languages. Yeah, it's going to be an additional language, I think. That's where I see it going. So go over and check them out. Tell them we sent you. Give them $1, $2. You're going to spend it up on coffee anyway. Okay. Yeah. Let me do a quick one. That was me announcing. I needed to announce because I posted it yesterday. Okay, some of you, have you heard of Moonlight Online?
I have, actually.
Yay. Okay, well, Moonlight Online has done some updates. IGG's massive 3D MMORPG has made its debut on the traditional Chinese version, released on Facebook, garnering much anticipation and support from avid vampire fans. IGG is currently seeing Moonlight Online available in many languages worldwide in the future. Currently, the team is working on the English translation for the game, and they probably need to call us because otherwise it's not going to work out too well. Just saying. You can look forward, if you speak English, to the English version of Moonlight Online very soon. The English preview page is now up, and the English forum is very much active with the latest news, updates, and discussions about the game. Gamers are welcome to visit Moonlight Online's official website to find out more about the game. Stop tweeting me, people. mo.igg.com is where you can find more information. Just to tell you a little bit about the game, you can choose from three races, humans, werewolves, and, of course, the vampires.
Mm-hmm.
There are three classes in each race, each with different backgrounds and terrains, and each race has its own distinct trait and unique strengths. In this harsh and unforgiving supernatural universe, the power struggles among the three great races are eternal as their legacies. Your adventures may mean difference between survival and instinct for your race. The Tales of Moonlight Online will bring them through a journey of discovery, investigation, meditation, and final revelation. Okay. Anyway, you can check out the rest of the story up at our site and wait for the English version if you speak English. Otherwise, if you're Chinese, you're probably already playing and having a good time. Let us know how it is.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. EA, you people. All right. So everybody knows about Origin, hates it. You know, it's evil, all that fun stuff. Sorry, EA. It's true. GamePolitics.com, EA says Origin needs 2 more years to be perfected. So in other words, they released it 2 years early.
Wait a minute. Wait, back up. What came 2 years early?
Origin needs 2 more years to be perfected, which, you know, in my opinion, means they released Origin 2 years early.
We talked about that yesterday, girl. You remember?
Did we? Oh, yeah. My bad. Never mind. Scratch that.
It's been a long 2 days, y'all.
It has been a long, so long. More bad news then. More bad news. This is, there are going to be some ticked off people. GamePolitics.com, there's a report going around. Gotham City Imposters glitch wipes player data.
Oh!
Ouch. All right, so according to an admin on the game's official forums, there is a glitch in Gotham City Imposters that resets earned stats and unlocked content. The thread already has 63 pages of angry Gotham City Imposter owners complaining at length about the problem. When the core of your game is online multiplayer and the goal is to build an online record of your exploits, you can understand why players might be just a tad bit frustrated. Customers who bought XP bonuses and other baubles to give them an edge in leveling up are particularly agitated with the wipe. I would be too. Another official forum post is suggesting that the error is occurring for those gamers who have bought the game by converting the trial version to the full version. So I guess we will see how this story develops. But I almost want to go over there and troll.
I'm thinking about it myself. That's gonna.
So how y'all doing? How'd you level 1? Oh, my bad.
Oh, Ginger. Ginger, that's not nice. We shouldn't do our fellow gamers that way, but it's so funny. Okay.
It's so funny. don't get me wrong. I totally feel for you. I would be so mad myself, but I still want to laugh at the same time. It's one of those things. You see somebody fall down, you kind of point and laugh. It's music.
Not to their face, though, Ginger.
Oh, see? Yeah, nobody ever told me that.
Bad, Ginger, bad.
Ginger is bad. Ginger is so bad.
Well, I know you're sitting there right now at work, and you're thinking exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Can we have a nap?
No. Who wants to be a millionaire? When can I play it?
Oh! Yeah, I wasn't thinking that.
Nobody was. I just like to put it in your head. Deep Silver and Double Six Digital have announced they have a new Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Special Edition Sports Booster Pack for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox Live Arcade systems. I don't know why they always send it to us with it all typed out that way. With 600 new questions, the new booster pack will train the mental stamina of every sports ace. This edition was produced in cooperation with Two Way Traffic International, part of Sony Pictures Television, which owns and licenses the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire format all around the world. It'll be available to fans worldwide, except here in North America, Canada, and Mexico. Yes, you are all excited for nothing. You were like, I've been playing Madden, I know. Well, too bad for you. Sports enthusiasts can push their know-how to the limits with Who Wants to Be a Sports Millionaire. With 600 questions from the world of sports, players can help against the global leaderboard or challenge family and friends. I'm having a lisp thing going on today. Seriously. That was disgusting. Okay, so this special edition pack can be purchased for about 240 Microsoft points and from the PlayStation Store for about $1.99. Mm-hmm. Which is not bad, or €1.99, since it's not really here. Who Wants to Be a Sports Millionaire will also be available, or actually be available March 1st of this year. Contestants can participate in the Fast Finger first round and then scale a mountain of questions in the quest for the elusive virtual million, making judicious use of the three classic lifelines, 50-50, ask the audience, and phone a friend. It's a social experience, too. Up to 4 friends can compete locally to outdo each other, with each person's score dependent on their speed. But the standout feature of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Special Edition is the introduction collection of special licensed question packs featuring the biggest names from the movies, TV, and more, as well as the new sports pack and the two special issues Who Wants to Be a Music Millionaire and Who Wants to Be a Football Millionaire can also be purchased as an extension to the original Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Sports Edition game. I do not like game shows turned to video games at all.
Yeah, I agree.
That irritates me. Yeah. You won a car. I didn't really want a car. I'm not excited.
Yeah. Oh, God, that'd be nice.
It would. I think if you're going to do something like this, especially with all this, we've talked about this before, if you're going to have all these achievements unlocked, if it's going to be a game like this, it should be a chance. You know, if you get the achievement, it should be automatically entered for a chance to go on the real show.
Ooh, I like that idea. Yes.
You don't have to talk to the people. You unlock such these achievements. Bam, 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 bam. You're automatically entered in a little raffle. We pick your name. We're going to call you up. Hey there, Skullcap 2535. You've won, you know, we picked your name out of the hat. You're going to be on the real Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. If you want to, would you like to come down? We'll fly you out. Yay. But this, you've won $5 million. It's not real. Who cares?
Exactly. Exactly. Exacular.
Exactly.
All right, what do we got? Enjoy cross-platform play on both PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 3 for one price. MotorStorm RC, Top Darts, Hustle Kings, Wipeout HD, and HD Fury DLC for Wipeout. 2048 and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 DLC to be one price for access to play across both PS Vita and PS3 systems. All right, so Sony has revealed that from the 22nd of February, MotorStorm, Hustle Kings, all those things I said earlier, can be purchased on PlayStation Store throughout the European and PAL territories, sorry US, and will include the innovative feature to play them on both PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita for one price. For those who already own any of these titles for their PS3 systems, able to download the same content to their PS Vita systems for free and vice versa. There is no need to pay for the same content twice, highlighting the importance of the relationship between the PS3 and the PS Vita. But it is not only the ability to buy these games for one price and access them across both platforms that makes the relationship between PS3 and PS Vita so important. MotorStorm RC, Hustle Kings, Top Darts, Wipeout HD, and HD Fury DLC for Wipeout 2048 all offer cross-platform play, which allows users to compete with gamers regardless of which system they are playing on. Whether it is real-time or turn-based play, this new way of competing creates a unique gaming experience. All right, so available in stores from the 22nd of February, PS Vita delivers stunning graphics combined with levels of social connectivity and a set of augmented reality features that will bring games into the real world as never before. All right, actually, I was at Best Buy yesterday, early afternoon, before the whole world came to an end for about 2 seconds, and I actually got my hands on one of these. It's not bad. It's kind of nice.
The Vita?
Yeah.
You like it?
It was pretty, yeah.
Does it look like it could stand up to some...
No.
It can't stand up to any abuse?
No. There's no kind of bumpers on any of the sides, nothing. There's nothing to, like, absorb the shock. If you drop it, it's going to hit glass.
So just like the PSP. Well, won't be getting one of those.
Yeah.
Sony, I told you, I'm hard on my consoles. Not on purpose. It's just, you know, I'm a busy chick. Trying to find my lip gloss. Sometimes the console falls out of the purse. Just saying.
Yes, exactly.
When are they going to learn? Talk to the people at Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. They should.
They make good stuff. It's almost indestructible. All right. And also whoever made the, I can't think of the name of it. Puts my little Microsoft. Zoom, yeah. Whoever made the Zoom, damn near shockproof, but it's almost. All right. So, again, one Mr. Drew Karpyshyn has sang his goodbyes to all of us. Who is that? No, and no, he's not dead. BioWare writer Drew Karpyshyn, who worked on games including the Mass Effect series and Star Wars The Old Republic, has announced that he's leaving both BioWare and the industry itself in order to work exclusively on his own novels. Yes, currently in the works from Drew are an Old Republic novel and the first installment of his own fantasy series dubbed Children of Fire. In a post on his personal blog, Karpyshyn spoke about his respect for the team at BioWare, as well as his excitement at the prospect of enjoying their games as a pure consumer. He says, for the past 12 years, I've had the privilege to work at one of the best companies in the video game industry, side by side with the most talented and incredible group of people I've ever had the good fortune to know. How sweet! He says, I've enjoyed my time at BioWare immensely, but it's time for me to move on. To focus more time and energy on my novels and other non-video game-related projects. And even though I'll no longer be working on games for BioWare, I'm not going to be severing all ties with them. Many of my closest friends still work at the company, and I'm also in the process of writing the next Star Wars The Old Republic novel, though I can't say too much about it yet. He says, during my time at BioWare, I worked on a number of beloved and award-winning titles. I'm proud of everything we accomplished, and I know we're going to know going forward that BioWare will continue to live up to, to its deserved reputation for making the best story-driven games in the industry. The story and dialogue in any BioWare game is the result of an entire team of writers working together, and I often felt I received an excessive amount of credit for the games we created. The Dragon Age, I knew he wrote Dragon Age. Dragon Age games and the continued success of the Mass Effect series after my departure make it pretty clear that BioWare can get along just fine without me. I'm looking forward to experiencing the games as a fan rather than from the other side of the fence. You'll be missed greatly, especially if you wrote all that business that went on with our favorite Dragon Age character, Alistair. We're definitely going to miss you. You write good romance stuff, dude, in games.
Yes, and we love our romance in games.
And if your novels are a sci-fi horror, I will definitely read them. I'm a big Stephen King fan. So if you're in that genre, just shoot us an email over here when it's ready. I'll be glad to read it.
Very nice, very nice. All right, so what do we got? Nintendo getting some new content on the Wii console. Nintendo teams up with Hulu Plus to offer thousands of TV shows and movies on the Wii console. Best-selling console expands its entertainment options with more popular TV shows and movies with Hulu Plus. All right, so Wii owners with broadband internet access now have a new way to watch their favorite TV shows and movies. Starting today, Wii owners can subscribe to Hulu Plus for $7.99 a month and instantly stream current season hit TV shows such as Family Guy, Glee, New Girl, Vampire Diaries, The Office, The Biggest Loser, and Modern Family, as well as full back seasons of hit shows like The Community, Grey's Anatomy. Kids can enjoy a growing library of favorites, including Arthur, Wildcrats, and Dinosaur Train. And families can browse through hundreds of popular movies from Miramax and more. That's kind of cool. All right, so who is this talking? Tony Ellison, Nintendo of America's Senior Director and General Manager of Network Business, says, Wii offers the most entertainment fun for everyone in the family with an impressive selection of streaming movies and TV shows in addition to unparalleled lineup of games that can't be played anywhere else. That's good for kid games, people. All right, so the Wii console is hub of the living room, and the addition of Hulu Plus, millions of households now have even more options for streaming premium TV shows and movies. Sad via marketing and distribution at Hulu says, we want to be everywhere on every screen where people want to watch their favorite shows and discover new ones on their own schedule. Wii is not only one of the most important entertainment devices in the living room, but one of the most heavily anticipated and requested platforms by users and subscribers. Teaming up with Nintendo gives millions of households across the U.S. an immediate way to access some of their favorite current season shows on demand in their living room through Hulu Plus. All right, so I've got more information for this up on GameAndMatrix.com this morning if you want to head over there and check it out.
All right, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm thinking I need me a mole baby.
A mole baby? Wait, what?
Mole baby.
No.
Since you asked. This is from a company called Taomi, and they're one of the leading children's entertainment and media companies in China, and they've announced today they're launching their new app for iOS and iPhone, a mole baby. It's based on popular game character as Taomi's first app, Mole's World. It's currently ranked number one as a download in China, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, with 100 million registered PC users in Asia. The app is developed, again, by Taomi Holding Limited, and they're also one of the leading children's entertainment and media companies in China. The game, you can download it for 99 cents on the iTunes market. What is it? It's supposed to be a very family-friendly game for children or, families. So they're saying, Mo Baby, blinking her large, adorable eyes, she chuckles and laughs when you tickle her. Your job is to love her and raise her. And she repeats all sounds in an adorable voice. Choosing appropriate clothes for her to wear and teaching her to expand her vocabulary by learning new words are very important tasks for the player. You can get her for free through February the 23rd. She has a couple of few little key features, actually. Talk, and she'll repeat the sounds back to you. You can teach her how to read and write. Poke or tickle Mole Baby. You can launch baby-friendly fireworks, feed her her favorite snacks, dress her in her favorite costumes, and choose her room by selecting your own decorations. You take her on play date, visit friends, and give the gift of strawberry cakes. For free, because I'm sure there's some paid things that they have not told us about, you can choose up to three different snacks for her, which is rice, cookies, and cakes. Remember, this is an Asian game, so rice is a big thing. And in my house, I must have been Asian in a previous life because I'm telling you, I keep rice cooked around here all the time. You can choose up to six props, books, bubbles, brush, a catapult, a magic berry, and a notebook.
Every baby needs a catapult.
Every baby needs
to be fitted in a catapult and launched.
You know the Christian people just started following the show. We're gonna be on national news. You also have three fun-filled levels. You have the option to upgrade to three additional levels. Of course, I guess that's what the 99 cents is for. You can select from fireworks or four lanterns in celebration of the spring festival and lunar holiday. And there's also seven costumes that come with her and 11 additional costumes available with your upgrade. I'm curious to see because y'all know I'm a big AI fan, although I am deathly afraid that Skynet is going to take over. I would like to see just how smart these things are. So I will be getting me a Mole Baby shortly after we do the show, and she'll be in line with the rest of the reviews that I'm trying to finish writing. I told you about Fleck, didn't I?
It sounds familiar. The
zombie game. That one's got a lot of promise as far as an iPad game. A lot of promise. Still not on par with our GTA, but it's very interesting to see the things they do with Fleck. And I need to probably harass them before we. I give them a full interview. See if they give me some extra trees for my land. Anybody else out there playing Flex, shoot us a private message, Twitter or on Facebook, and I'll come and visit your city, leave you a message. I left a bunch of messages on some people's bulletin boards night before last saying hi from Gamer Girls Radio and GamerNatrix.com. So if you got one of those messages, drop by again. Say hello. I might give you a prize. I might. Ginger, you're muted. And those of you who still play Animal Crossing, if you happen to find one of our old bottles in the sea.
Oh, my God, I'm replying, and I was like,
I'm not answering you because I can't hear you. But if you still play Animal Crossing, either the Wii version or the DS version, and you happen to get one of those bottles I threw in the ocean because I think I did like 15 million, and if you can tell me what it says, we still honor those requests. We'll still give you a prize, but you got to tell me what the note says. You can't be like, I got one of your bottles. Okay, what it say? Because I put a different message in each one, and they're very Corey-centric, so I know exactly what I would say and what I wouldn't.
Don't gagging me.
Yes, you get gagged. It's time for a break.
Gagging me.
You can't be you're giving away too much.
She is gagging me. That's not nice.
Oh, you like it anyway.
Maybe. How many pictures since I take of that? Yep.
Okay, as you all know, it is Friday, and I think this weekend I'll be staying in, so anybody, Ginger. Who wants to play some GTA, Jay, Ginger?
I am going to be out of town.
Jay, you see that? She don't want to play with you. Well, I will be in.
I've got to go spoil them.
If you are in town and you want to indulge in some nice GTA mayhem, and when we say mayhem, we do mean mayhem. We just go drive around and be crazy. Go ahead and find me on Xbox. I have, I think, like three friend slot open. Three. Or just send me a message. We'll invite you to game. You don't have to be on my friends list. Gamer Nature's Corey. And the O is a zero if you're looking for me. That's the first time I've ever given up my gamer tag. But anyway, we're out of here to the streaming side. To the streaming side. You know what? I was talking muted. How about that?
I was listening to the tunes.
So people are like, what happened?
Are we on the other side now?
We're on the other side, and I actually made a little cute little something I said, but...
I know, I was going to say, you usually sing along to this song. You usually say something to it.
I was, but nobody could hear me.
Aw, you stood again.
I said, guess what? We're no longer streaming live.
Aw, see, that's so fun.
Oh, well, it'll be all right.
All right, what have we got? I need to stop curling my hair around my fingers for one. Yeah, totally doing a girly thing. EU court rules social networks can't be forced to block copyrighted material and users. This is coming from GamePolitics.com this morning. Social networks can't be forced to police their services for copyrighted material or block users, according to a new rule from your The court said that it could not be forced to these things because that burden would drive their costs up and infringe on users' privacy. The Luxembourg-based Court of Justice of the European Union, ECJ, ruled on a case involving two Belgian companies at odds over copyright infringement, a music royalty collecting society called SABAM, and the online social network Netlog. SABAM had asked a Belgian court in 2009 to force Netlog to stop its users from illegally downloading songs from the society's portfolio. Oh my good God. Portfolio, people. All right, so the Belgian judges inevitably sought advice from the Luxembourg court. Things didn't turn out for the rights holder in this case. Who's talking? The ECJ said in a statement, the owner of an online social network cannot be obliged to install a general filtering system covering all users or the unlawful use of musical and audiovisual work. Such an injunction would result in a serious infringement of Netlog's freedom to conduct its business, since it would require Netlog to install a complicated, costly, permanent computer system at its own expense. Judges also noted that forcing a company to install a filter to identify, analyze, and process users' personal information might infringe on their privacy rights and could result in the blocking of lawful content. See, U.S.? Uh-huh. Everybody else is getting this right. Why are we still screwing with this? Come on. All right, so in a separate case last year, the ECJ dismissed a bid by SABAM to get Scarlet, a division of Belgian ISP Belgicom, to stop its users from downloading illegal songs. Look, I know that y'all seem to think this is a big deal. You're losing money, everything. If you would make a friendly, easy, cheaper way to download music, people would probably pay for it. But charging us $30, $40 for a disc of music that we only want two songs off of.
Well, now, you can get your one or two tracks, you know, but it's still too high, I think.
It is. I don't want to pay $4 and $5 for one or two songs, you know, or just, you know, for one song. No, $2-3, sure, that's fine. And the other thing is, once I've downloaded, it's mine. I want to be able to download it to my computer, to my phone, to my MP3, to my iPod, whatever I have.
That is my biggest gripe with every service. Apple is the same way, so with Zune. I bought three songs from Zune because I was impressed that I could do it right on my Zune, right? Mm-hmm. It requires a Wi-Fi connection. You don't have to connect, you know, I don't have to connect my Zune to the PC. I thought it was amazing. I was actually standing outside in front of the house talking to somebody, and I saw, one of the rappers, Chris, whatever his face was, but I was like, oh, I want this song, because we were talking about the movie Tropic Thunder. If you guys know Tropic Thunder, it's the thing at the end, and I said, I want this song, but I was looking for the clean version. I saw it. I downloaded it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had a Zune Pass, which should have meant, even if my Zune Pass expired, the song should have stayed mine, because I didn't pay, Zune Pass was a trial, but I still paid money for the song. You know, my song was gone. Your license has expired for this, it says.
Yes. And that's why I don't do that anymore.
That's exactly why. Mm-hmm.
I now have Pandora on my phone. Sure, I can't listen to the exact song that I'm looking for just right then at that moment, but I can find other songs that are similar that I like, other groups that are similar that I might not have heard of before, and it's free. All right, so there's a commercial here and there, but it's free. I don't have to deal with this.
I haven't tried to put a page on my phone yet.
That irritated me so badly. I had an MP3. I had the pass. but just randomly, all of a sudden, my MP3 would be like, you need to connect to the computer to update your such and such to make sure that, you know, I still had the license or whatever. And it would not play until I did.
Which is ridiculous. If I paid
yes
for the song, not the service, because, again, after I've, you know, done my trial, I'm saying, you know, maybe, you know, I don't want to continue. But I still wanted to buy songs from Zune. I just didn't want to pay for the service. And I think it was, well, you get to download all these songs during the service. These will be free. They're not really free because as soon as the thing expires, whether I paid for them or not, you're telling me my license is no good. And it wasn't
yes,
just that
song.
Yes,
and then I couldn't play them. And yeah. the money that I'd spent was gone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I lost
and that irritated me. So
then
no.
I'm not coming back.
And I won't.
Ugh. All right. More people get hacked. Anonymous is acting a dang fool, as we say in the South.
Oh, no. Anonymous, y'all were doing so good. So good.
Well, I'm
like 2 steps forward and 15 back.
I'm not going to make any comments for the good or for the bad of what they're doing. We're just going to tell you this one time. I might be impartial to the end of the story, but here we go. A handful of U.S. and government websites were hacked just today, as a matter of fact, in protest of the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, ACTA, which is a highly controversial trade agreement largely cooked up by media companies, much like SOPA, to protect their precious copyrighted content from being pirated online. VentureBeat is reporting that the hacktivist group, I love that they've come up with this, we've all come up with this name for it now. They're a hacktivist. Anonymous is believed to be responsible for the attack. According to the International Business Times, the group posted a strongly worded anti-ACTA statement as well as an anti-ACTA PSA video from YouTube. And it's made to businessft.gov, consumer.gov, and the National Consumer Protection Week official site, ncpw.gov. And I will tell you to go over to our site to watch it, but we're in the middle of changing over to do something for our videos, so that's why we're not updating our channel. I know a few of you have been watching and leaving comments and stuff, but we're getting ready to switch over to something. We told you we got stuff coming. So you can probably find that on YouTube if you're interested. Or for those of you who are not familiar with the Trade Agreement ACTA, because we were so focused on SOPA and you're not in the countries where ACTA is actually trying to be made law, ACTA is an international treaty aimed at giving countries the ability to stop copyright infringement and other forms of intellectual property theft, sort of a standard framework so that all countries around the world can charge and prosecute digital piracy, like SOPA. Remember how well that went over? Mm-hmm. However, many Europeans, as well as us Americans to a lesser extent, are against the trade agreement because it doesn't directly address or stop piracy in any kind of meaningful way. That's on top of the fact that most government officials signed or attempted to the agreement in secrecy without input from the public. wow. More recently, the German government formally refused to sign ACTA. Yeah, my people. My people. Mm-hmm. the affected government websites are all still offline this morning. But we have a little bit of snippet of the anti-ACTA statement I'm going to share with you. Do we got time? Yeah, we got time. They said if you're in a hurry, Anonymous was kind enough to include a TLDR a line at the bottom which reads, ACTA is a downright beep act. We must kill it with fire. So here's a little bit of their statement. Their statement is, even more bothersome than your complete lack of competence in maintaining your own effing websites, and I'm saying effing, that's not what they said, and serving the citizens you are supposed to be protecting is the U.S. federal government's support of ACTA. You really want to empower copyright holders to demand that users who violate IP rights with no legal process have their internet connections terminated? You really want to allow a country with an oppressive internet censorship regime to demand under the treaty that an ISP in another country remove site content? Well,
wow.
We have critical warning for you, and we suggest you read the next few paragraphs very, very closely. Okay. Whew. Ah, that sounds like some Wild West, we in the streets with the guns, let's draw type of thing I see going on. Anyway,
yeah.
Here's more of it. If ACTA is signed by all participating negotiating countries, you can rest assured that anti-sect will bring a effing mega uber awesome war that will rain torrential hellfire down on all enemies of free speech, privacy, and internet freedom. We will systematically knock all evil corporations and governments off of our internet.
Hell yeah. I'm sorry.
You're not the only one who feels that way. Comments down the page for this story is, well said, Anonymous. Some people say that this makes me so unbelievably happy. Just wow.
I'm going to have to find me a chat room, stick my head in, and have a chat with some of these people.
I'm keeping my mouth shut because you know we're being watched by several people.
You know what? Y'all can watch me bounce my boobs as I go and find the chat room.
I'm just saying, all I got to say is, government, if you're coming to get me, if you're going to put me somewhere, I just need internet. And it, you can censor it. I don't have to talk. I just make sure I get all the latest games that comes in, or I will find a way out of that room, I'm telling you.
Yes.
Keep the games coming. Keep the, you know, the nice fresh fruits and vegetables. And I'm going to need my cable. I'm going to just go ahead and trick out the room, my big screen TV. And I'm going to need a spa, bathroom, and shower, just, you know. And then I'll happily be locked away. No problem.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Some conjugal visits, too, from Vin Diesel and Keanu Reeves every now and again. Just saying. Okay. Ginger, what you got? We got 5 minutes.
Wow. My brain just exploded. All right. More than 2 million visits in the first month for LEGO Hero Factory Breakout Game. Four T2 Multimedia today announced that the Hero Factory Breakout Game has created for the LEGO Group has received more than 2 million visits in its first month. Breakout is a free-to-play third-person action-adventure game designed to look and feel like a AAA console title, yet be playable in a browser. The game features a tailored control system that makes it easy for children in the target age range of 7 to 12 to navigate complex 3D obstacles, target enemies, and experience rich gameplay. And a first for the LEGO Group, all toys in the new Hero Factory 2012 range contain a chest plate with a unique code stamped on it. Children can use these one-time codes to unlock game points, which they can spend on upgrading and customizing their heroes online. The game and the code also form the focus of the 2012 advertising campaign for Hero Factory, making this a cross-media project spanning TV, print, online, and mobile. Jan Faltum, marketing director of LEGO Construction, explains, joining the physical product to the range's online world is a part of a broader strategy for LEGO. Our toys are focused on creating a rich play experience for children, and we see digital media as an increasingly important part of that. We commissioned this game so children could have fun customizing their own heroes and interacting with them in a 3D world. The game codes connect the real world to their LEGO toys with a digital world with its own creative possibilities. All right, so I have got more information and a logo up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check it out.
All right, those of you who have been listening to us rant and rave about how awesome OnLive is, you can... in case you didn't know, it is a holiday weekend, and OnLive is having a sale. Yes, a sale. And I see one game I must have already. Just a few of them. If you haven't tried Orcs Must Die, which we've also told you is an absolutely awesome game, maybe you haven't tried it because your PC's not that great, or maybe you don't have an Xbox. Well, guess what? For $3.75 this weekend, you too can defend your fortress from the orcs. Also up for sale is Mafia 2. They'll let you try it out for free for a few hours. It is only $7.50. It is a single player. You also got your Just Cause 2 that you can try for free. It's going to be $6.80. And then you have your standard ones, your Assassin's Creed, your War in the North, Driver. All of these, Deus Ex, if you haven't tried that, is only $24.99 if you get it on live. Man, Arcade, they're going to let you try that one for free for about 20, or you can try it for free and then $24.99 if you want to buy it. Also, OnLive does allow you to rent games. So if you're like, I'm just off for the weekend, I just kind of want to play one of these, I really don't want to buy it, $5.99 to rent it. Like Batman Arkham City.
That's not bad.
Yeah. The Deus Ex, let me see. The price, well, they don't allow you to rent that one. But Arkham City, you can rent. I'm trying real hard to stay away from OnLive. This is a dangerous thing for me, OnLive is. Because I don't
slightly
have
addicting?
It's more than addictive. I don't have to upgrade my PC, which is, you know, she's starting to show her age.
I know, my poor girl's making noises recently.
Yeah, mine was making some little ticking noises too. And then the fact that, well, I don't think the OnLive app works very well with the first iPad, but I could be mistaken. We'll probably need to get with them at some point and find out for sure. But I know I can access it. Anyway, I got it. I'm looking at it now like, oh my God. I could just be playing me some Arkham City on iPad, just chilling, just everywhere. As long as it's free Wi-Fi, I'm just there. Hey! I love when I can whip out something and start playing games anywhere. Love it. All right. It's time for me to go. Me and Ginger to go. I got to get my mole baby.
Wow. No, no.
Yes, I'm getting my mole baby. Remember, you guys, please go over and check out Code Hero. They got 7 days left. They're just a fourth of the way toward their goal, and this is one of those games I think is a game changer, pun intended. Wow. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Ginger, we got to talk after. Okay, so we'll see you guys later. Have a fantastic President's Day weekend. Are we off Monday? I always ask Ginger because I'm always game to do whatever they want to do.
I'll be here Monday.
Well, so we'll be here Monday for full hours starting next week, every day.
Yay!
Yay! Okay, music does not want to play. Let's play Ginger song. Let's take her out on a good note.
Dancing on the floor, I'm kinda nervous to approach her though. Or she's so stylish like a supermodel. Or should I meet her? Yes, I think you oughta. The needle dropped, my breath was hot. We began to rock, our eyes were locked. I love your soul. Now your girl sing along. Said these days make my heart ain't got the paper. Watch the place.
Jen. Later, boys and girls. Mwah!